Someone once told me the grass is much greener. We have a lot of cool stuff planned for season 3.
Being proud of who you are no matter what you do.
You definitely see the characters progress a lot more. They start growing up.
I think Ginger and Darren are endgame.
It is a masterpiece of an episode.
Oh, it's the cattiest moment in the history of television.
Trust me, everybody has been excited for our thoughts on it. Who's the girl in the pink capri?
It's Courtney, it's Courtney!
Someone once told me the grass is much greener on the other side.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to We're In Between, the podcast that discusses an episode of As Told by Ginger once a week, every week. This week we have for you Kiss Today Goodbye. It is our 50th episode, and episode 53 of the show. This one aired on, wait for it, October 22nd, 2016 on Nick Splat, so just over a year ago. This episode was written by Kate Boutelier. And in this one, while desperately trying to be accepted into the pep squad, Jody discovers that Darren has been secretly having a relationship with the head cheerleader, Simone. Jody wants to tell Ginger, but doesn't risk her place on the squad by angering Simone. Jody writes a letter, I'm not gonna say to who, we'll get there, not wanting to be responsible for the breakup. And, also, Carl and Lois go house hunting, and it is delightful.
Absolutely. This is like a combination of being way too dramatic and then incredibly goofy.
Right. Here's my take on the drama, because you warned me about how dramatic this show gets. And full disclosure, I've now seen to the end of the show. I'm not going to discuss the rest of it, of course, on this one. But I made it. It's very good. That's all I will say. Here's how I feel about the drama in the second half of season 3. I love it, but because the end of the show was coming, it feels out of nowhere, rushed, and random, and I feel like, and that's not, like, Emily's fault, you know, she didn't ask for the show to get canceled, but I just wish they'd had more time. If the show spent half the time in middle school, half the time in high school, I feel like they could have worked into all this drama, but instead, it's, like, innocent middle school lives, and then suddenly it's, like, cheating and letters and secrets, and it's a little, the tonal shift is pretty abrupt for me.
Yeah, and this is the exact reaction that everybody has said when it comes to looking back on the second half of season 3. And now, as mentioned before, because these episodes never aired in the US, and when people look back on them, there's a lot of people who kind of dismiss it altogether because it just feels completely out of place because, sure, we've had some dramatic moments in the first two seasons, but they weren't this dramatic. They weren't this depressing. But now that we're really getting into, oh, high school equals depression and somber tones. So, yeah. I mean, I guess if we were introduced to these episodes as the show was continuing, then maybe there could have been a lot more appreciation for what the show took. But because, as mentioned before, with Fair Too Cloudy, that none of the other episodes aired in the U.S. and we didn't have to, and we had to wait until another, we had to wait until another 4 years for them to be released on iTunes, and then eventually they were uploaded on YouTube, like, much later on. And then, as with Casey mentioning, the debut date, October 22nd, 2016...
I must did a double take reading that. Yeah, I was like, wait, what?
12 years after the show ended, that's when they started to air half of the episodes that never aired on the U.S. So, yeah, right. It's, I mean, for some people, this is the first time that they've ever seen the later seasons, the later season 3 episodes. So, yeah, I know we've already talked about this, so let's finally get into the plot of this episode.
Yeah, the concept of this episode of letter writing is really strong throughout, just before we get into the minor details, because, you know, Macy's trying to write a letter to her boyfriend, Dodie is writing this letter the whole time, we know Ginger is a writer in general. I just love that strong backbone to the episode.
Yes, so the episode starts off with Dodie writing the letter, and it's from her perspective, which is completely different because The show's called As Told by Ginger, so we hear Ginger with her narration. We hear Ginger's thoughts when she's writing in her diary. So now we actually get to hear her from Dodie's perspective. And she's writing this letter about all the stuff that had been happening the other day regarding about how her day was, you know, how she's trying to get herself into the pep squad, but Coach Candace won't let her because she's a freshman and freshmen are not allowed to be cheerleaders. And so she does everything that she can to do it. And she decides that one of the first things that she's going to do is that she's going to cook delicious low-carb foods for Coach Candace to see if she can be able to have at least maybe some good graces with her. So essentially, Dodie is becoming a kiss-up.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and Dodie as narrator throughout this episode is a really interesting development, like you said. Not only Dodie writing the letter, but Dodie sort of guiding the plot of the episode was really refreshing for me.
Oh, absolutely. It was refreshing, considering that Ginger's the one who does the narrations on a few episodes, and seeing Ginger writing in her diary. So it's actually nice to see somebody else taking the helm. The fact that Dodie is cooking low-carb food, oh my god, this is taking me way back into the early 2000s when the low-carb, high-protein diet was becoming extremely popular. And I remember seeing like all these Food Network shows and all these cookbooks about how to do that diet. It's something that Leandra and I, we even talked about when Lois was losing the weight and she was eating those dietetic fat-free, sugar-free cookies. And how, you know, those used to be like hugely popular back in the day. But now, you know, those kind of cookies have just as much sugar or not even more than the actual cookies themselves. But yeah, low carb, high protein diets, they pretty much aren't around as much anymore because, you know, sometimes there's a difference between like, you know, simple carbs and complex carbs. Simple carbs, when you eat them, they do put some weight on you, but as complex carbs, they keep you full and you can be able to have enough energy so you can be able to work out. As somebody who has gone on multiple diets, I really know about this stuff. I've been through them all. I've been through low sugar diets. I've been through low carb, high protein. I've been through pretty much anything that you can say, except for grapefruit, because that was like 70s. I never had to eat grapefruit in every single meal.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Huh, the grapefruit thing.
Oh, yeah. Watch an episode of Scooby-Doo in the Scooby-Doo movies in which they had Mama Cass as a guest, and she was in the grapefruit diet. So, yeah, that was a thing back then.
Must have missed that one, and I watched a lot of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
So,
the issue of moving in this episode, I expected it to be a much bigger deal than it was, but so Lois proposes to Ginger and Carl that, well, we're gonna have to move. We want a bigger house, you know, and they're marrying into more money now. And I thought, oh no, their kids are gonna put up a stink. It's gonna be hard for Ginger and especially for Carl. But I think we really see that they've both moved on to new parts of their lives. Carl to middle school and Ginger to high school. They're both trying to act older than they are. They're pretty unfazed by this. It's like they've just completely moved on in their lives and they're like, well, okay.
That's actually pretty interesting because they've known about this house their entire lives. It was their childhood home. They grew up there. They've had all their traditions over there. But as we've seen throughout the season, as we've seen throughout the series, it's not exactly a great house. It's always breaking down. There's not enough space. And, you know, they had to work around the limitations of it. But now, I guess, just like you were saying before, they've pretty much moved on. Ginger is moving on to high school, and now she's participating in a band alongside with Orion.
Yeah, which, did these episodes air out of order or something, or did I just zone out last episode? Because the band thing kind of came out of nowhere. I would have liked to see that actually form.
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting because in Detention, the episode that we talked about last week, where when Ginger first meets up with Orion, they talk about music. So I guess maybe around that time when Ginger and Orion were starting to become a little bit more closer, they decided, hey, let's have a band together. And yeah, like you were saying before, because of, the pressure of finishing up the show because Klasky Csupo was at its low points, especially around the early 2000s when they were being upstaged by The Sponge.
The Sponge.
And not to mention that we talked about this with Mark Risley, that it was not a coincidence that Rugrats, The Wild Thornberrys, Rocket Power, and As Told by Ginger all ended in 2004. This was like around the time in which Klasky Csupo's time in the spotlight, where they were the definitive animated company to making Nicktoons, was pretty much over. I guess it wasn't easy for Emily Kapnick and the rest of the writers to flesh out the stories of the high school years. It definitely reminds me a little bit about Danny Phantom, in which about season three, that Nickelodeon wanted Danny Phantom to be canceled, and Butch Hartman wanted to dedicate a full season to discussing about the ghost world and flesh out the villains more, and the fact that and then of course we have that series finale in which Danny has to defend Amity Park from the Phantom Planet, and there's a lot of things in it that are rushed, and even though he tried his best, season three is considered to be a very weak season because it feels rushed. And I guess As Told by Ginger is no exception. It would have been nice if we would have gotten an episode where Ginger and Orion formed the band. It would have been nice if we would have gotten an episode where Carl was doing trouble with the remedial math class, and maybe we would have had a little bit more development with the teacher wanting to get revenge on Carl due to his daughter being in that class from the episode Stuff Will Kill Ya. Yeah, I wish that we would have gotten more episodes, but I guess they were being pushed for time.
Well, maybe that's why Ashley and I don't like Danny Phantom, because maybe we just keep watching season three ones. I'll have to check. Well, yeah, you just wish they'd had more time to breathe with it.
Yeah, that's true, but this is not too surprising. I mean, Nickelodeon still continues to do this, in which if something is not hugely successful, then they'll just push it into the wayside. They did that already with Harvey Beaks, so... Yeah, I guess some things...
Yes. I love Harvey Beaks.
Yeah, some things... and Harvey Beaks wasn't making as big of a... it wasn't huge in the ratings compared to The Loud House, so they decided to push it over to the Nicktoons Network, and now they're airing their last episodes, so... Yeah, if it's not as successful in SpongeBob, then yeah, you pretty much don't exist. I guess some things haven't changed.
So are you saying there won't be a Harvey Beaks musical on Broadway?
No. What were we talking about again?
We were talking about moving. Ginger and Carl moving.
Oh my god. Sorry, everybody.
They were moving.
Okay, so yeah, they were moving, and Lois decides to... Carl is interested in wanting to find a nice place for them to live in, and Lois and Carl decide to go house hunting. And so the first house that they go to is a really old mansion where this vampire-looking dude lives in, and it's surrounded by bats, and Carl is really disgusted by it. And Lois is trying to ease him up and saying, like, hey, Carl, doesn't this look cool? Huh? This will be really cool to live in. Isn't it weird? And Carl is not even fazed by it whatsoever.
Right. Well, I was wondering why Carl doesn't, care about all these awesome houses for him, from his perspective. And then we see, once they visit a normal house and Carl is, Mr. Businessman about the whole thing, Lois is like, didn't you love those other houses? And he says, they were a dream come true. But then he elaborates to Lois, saying that this was his last duty as man of the house before Dr. Dave. And I just thought that scene was so touching. Like, Carl trying to be an adult for his mom and, like, trying to help her. And, besides the weird sort of gender dynamic of that, like, it really comes from a good place of Carl wanting to help his family.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we've seen in the first half of Butterflies Are Free, Carl wants to mature and he wants to leave his bad self, his bad antics behind him. And as we've seen in episodes such as Stuff Will Kill Ya, he wants to make a fresh start. He doesn't want to be the immature, playful, and scheming kid that we've known throughout the first three seasons. He wants to be more mature. He wants to help out Lois and Dr. Dave with, starting a brand new life. And He wants to take responsibilities as man of the house right before Dr. Dave steps in. And I think that that was very strong and very mature of Carl. And it definitely shows a growth in his character.
And what a great choice by the writing team here to have a Carl-Lois pairing for the first time in ages, where we just get to see their relationship. I thought that was so lovely.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we've had Lois with Ginger, we've had Lois with Dr. Dave, and, yeah, it's been a long time since we just had Lois and Carl, and it was actually not frustrating with Lois saying to Carl, don't cause any trouble or anything like that, but no, it was just, it was a legit mother-son trip to look for a brand new house for themselves.
And Lois is so touched, too, when he says, you know, that he was trying to help her. Like, that's such a strong moment between them.
Yeah. And while they're in the normal house, we get introduced to the real estate agent, Buddy.
Yes, who has to be the voice of the Pixies in School's Out the Musical, right? I didn't look it up, but there's no way he isn't.
He is. It's voiced by Ben Stein himself.
Awesome. I love this guy, and I love Carl teaming up with him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. For those who don't know, Ben Stein is a really well-known actor. He's been in a ton of movies, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off as the teacher says,
That guy, yeah, right.
Yeah, he goes off and says, Bueller, Bueller.
Oh, man.
Bueller, yeah. But yeah, he has been in a lot of Nicktoons, you know, just like the, you know, he was the voice of the Pixies in The Fairly Odd Parents. Right. So yeah, it's the same guy.
Oh my God, he literally wrote speeches for Nixon and Ford. He started as a lawyer and a speechwriter. I'm on his Wikipedia page.
He always plays as the deadpan, serious businessman or something like that. And, you know, every single performance that he's at, it's pretty much just the same deadpan voice. And I guess that's why a lot of people love to use him in various things and cartoons.
For sure.
So, I guess we can go back.
Can we talk about the Macy arc?
Yeah, the Macy arc was actually pretty surprising to me, considering that in Butterflies Are Free, she immediately fell in love with Andrew. And as we've heard in the episode Heat Lightning, in which Andrew works at an ice cream shop and Andrew and Macy were kind of sharing ice cream together and they were having like this sweet little moment. But now in this episode, Macy wants to break up with Andrew because he's over smothering her. And you know, she's been trying to find ways to break up with him, or, you know, she's tried to break up with him, but he doesn't really understand or about the concept of breaking up. He just thinks that it's like, oh, Macy, you know, she's such a strong, independent woman. I love that about her, which definitely reminds me of Norm from Things I Can't Explain, the book that continues off Clarissa Explains It All, in which you have this, you know, this stoner skateboarding dude who doesn't have a clue about that Clarissa wants to break up with him. He just thinks that she's just playing around with him. And it's pretty much the same thing here.
Yeah, I think Andrew's really funny. Something about their rapport cracks me up, and maybe it's because I was/am a band geek, how they're both just so dorky. And I always love when we get a moment of Jared synthesizers in the marching band music. You know, he did that so well. So we have some fun little transitions and little performances there. And then, yeah, Macy having the band instructor read her note to the whole band, you know, continuing on with this concept of letter writing. Oh, rough move. Not a good move. Oh, last kind of overarching thing from me. Dodie constantly using pet ferrets as an excuse was so funny to me. I'm not even sure why.
Yeah, but I think that Dodie should have told Ginger what was going on.
She should have, I agree. But in the way she kept just childishly running, Darren, and Ginger's like, yeah? She goes, Darren has a pet ferret! I think that's when she's talking to Simone, right? Yeah, she's trying to tell her that Darren has a girlfriend, and he says, Darren has a pet ferret, he has one too, bye! So lame.
Yeah, it's lame, and Jody should have definitely been on Ginger's back and should have told Simone immediately that that Darren already has a girlfriend. I mean, I know what she's trying to do. She's trying to get into the pep squad, and she would do anything to be in it. But as we've said before in the episode about Face, that popularity doesn't really matter. I thought that maybe Dodie would have learned this lesson by now. But I guess her dedication and her passion for wanting to be a cheerleader has overshadowed on what's best for her friends.
Yeah, I think so too. But I will say, I think she makes a good move in the end. Can we get to that sort of twist? And I'm glad I didn't read the plot summary because it gives it away. And I was annoyed when I saw that afterwards. But the letter that Doty has been writing, which totally is portrayed to be to Ginger, ends up being for Darren. And you realize, you know, it's like, well, that M. Night Shyamalan twist at the end, you realize, oh, nothing was ever specifically addressed to Ginger. She was always writing to Darren because they're friends too. They've known each other for years. And she, the episode ends, I believe, with the line, "That's why you have to tell her, Darren." Oh, that was so good.
Yeah, I do admit that that was a really nice twist, absolutely. And it's just so crazy that Darren, out of all people, is flirting with the cheerleader. I mean, sure, that's we can kind of argue that, oh, Ginger is doing the same thing with Orion, but it, you know, we just see it as like a friend kind of thing. But no, Darren is smitten over Simone, and Simone is crazy for Darren. She sees him as the great football... She sees him as a great football player. She gives him a nickname, Diesel Darren. And she wants to have Darren as a boyfriend. And Doty doesn't say a single thing. And she assumes that, oh, Darren is single. And I'm going to do anything I can. So, yeah, I mean, it's actually funny because now that you have seen the entire series, Casey, now you can listen to the discussion that I had with Ken regarding about Darren's transformation from seasons 1 and 2 all the way to season 3.
And I'll bet that fans didn't like it, just from what I know about As Told by Ginger fans, but I do. And here's why. I think when you transition from middle school to high school, everyone changes. Some people get better, some people get worse. And I think Darren just got worse. There's nothing about his character. Like, yeah, he's sweet, but he's so shy. And so when he gains this confidence, some people don't handle having confidence well, and they turn into egomaniacs, or they think they can get away with whatever they want. So I don't mind it at all.
Yeah, and I guess it does fit with this character because remember that his father and his brother were athletes in their time. So he had to follow up with the Patterson tradition. And just like what Ken said, they made him into exactly what they wanted. And that was the result.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Oh, and then also in the letter that Doty writes, she says, "I just couldn't be responsible for this splinter in her heart," which is a lyric to one of her grunge songs. Also, Ginger being in a grunge band is so perfect. The songs are so, like, 2002, you know? I just adore it.
Yeah, and we're not talking about, like, Nirvana grunge, by the way. We're talking about...
No, not at all. No, it's really more alt-rock.
Yeah, alt-rock, exactly. We're talking about...
But she calls it grunge.
Yeah, exactly. She calls it grunge, but it's actually alt-rock. This isn't Nirvana. Yeah, I guess there's not really much to say about it. Now we can give our rankings of yay, nay, or meh. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on this?
You know, this one's a yay. I've been hemming and hawing for a while, but I gotta go with my gut, even though the episode is sort of the start of a totally different direction of the show. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I love the twist. I love Doty as narrator. I love Macy and Andrew. You know, the Ginger Darren drama is kind of silly, but also high school drama happens. High school is dramatic, and I found it compelling. I don't love Simone, but also she doesn't really know what she's getting herself into. But yeah, and Carl and Lois's plot is delightful. So it's a solid yay from me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say the same thing. Even though that I felt that Doty should have told Simone that Darren was with Ginger, and she should have told Ginger, about what that Darren was, slightly cheating on her with Simone, there are some positives to it. First of all, it's a refreshing change of pace that Doty's the narrator, and she's writing a letter to somebody that we don't know who it is until the end. And also, I really like the fact that Carl and Lois have a really good plot together. And the fact that Carl wants to go house hunting because he wants to help Lois and Dr. Dave start a new life, and Lois is trying to appease to Carl with what he used to like, which is like weird, crazy things, which is why she took him over to the mansion and to the castle with those strange people and the bats and the moss. in the walls and stuff like that. And then Carl giving off his reasoning on why he wasn't too crazy about it was because he was trying to be responsible. He wants to be the man of the house right before Dr. Dave takes over. And that's fantastic. That's great. I love the way that the plot was going. So yeah, I do give it a slight yay as well. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week as we're going to be discussing about episode 54. Hope to see you around soon and take care.